And this is a bit of a worry. The tobacco industry is apparently trying to encourage teenagers to take up smoking with new marketing strategies. New research has been released by the Tobacco Control Research Centre, Aspire 2025, at the University of Otago. And Professor Janet Hoke is the co-director of Aspire 2025. She joins me now. Hi there, Janet.
Hi, kia ora, GC.
Kia ora, Hoke or Hook?
Hook.
Sorry about that. Welcome to the show.
That's all right. Thank you.
This sounds like something out of the 80s, doesn't it? The tobacco industry targeting teenagers. What evidence is there that this is happening?
Well, look, there's actually quite a lot of evidence when we have a look at the sort of marketing that tobacco industry is doing at the moment. So they're really continuing with some of the strategies that they did have in place in the 1980s and onwards, as you've already suggested. And there are things like including smoking in movies, using role models to smoke, and really integrating smoking into everyday life so that it looks like a normal activity, even an aspirational activity, something that young people are going to look up to. So we see that kind of advertising and promotion continuing. And we've also seen the development of new smoked tobacco products like capsule cigarettes, for example, which use a very appealing sort of technology. It's a kind of gadget. It's likely to appeal to young people, gives them some control over the smoking experience that they have. So it's the sort of thing that they might even talk to and with their friends and perhaps share with others as well.
No doubt that there's still smoking on screen, TV and movies. How do we know that that is intentional marketing and not just a director saying, hey, well, this character will look cool if I put a cigarette in his hand?
Well, that's a good question to ask. I mean, we can go back and have a look at industry documents. So we've got evidence in those of contracts between actors and tobacco companies where we know that people have been paid to smoke in movies.
Recently?
And we can all... Mm-hmm.
That's a worry, isn't it?
It is. I mean, these are documents, from the 1980s. It's more difficult to find things that are much more recent, but it would be unusual if a strategy that had been used successfully in the past wasn't continuing to be used at the moment. And when we have a look at the prevalence of smoking in movies, so how many people are actually smoking, we see it's much, much greater than the population prevalence of smoking. So this is not an attempt to recreate what we see in society. This is really the active positioning of smoking as something that's normal and something that young people can look up to.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not it's the tobacco industry putting these cigarettes in characters' hands, it's concerning anyway, isn't it, given the qualities that a cigarette is meant to impart to a character, or maybe subconsciously does impart.
Yeah, and I think it's not only the associations that you're talking about that are worrying, it's also the impact that these kinds of images have on young people, because we know that the US Surgeon General has declared that there's a causal relationship between young people's exposure to smoking in movies and their risk of taking up smoking. So this is not just a casual thing that kids see in movies or on the television. This is something that actually influences their behaviour.
Is it legal to pay someone to smoke in a movie?
I would think that in New Zealand, under our legislation, it's not legal. But, of course, many of the films that we have in New Zealand are not shot here. So they're produced in jurisdictions that have quite different legislation.
So what did you do in terms of your research? What did you look at and what did you discover?
Well, these particular blogs that we've put out today are really a compilation of our own studies and some of the international literature that we've drawn together, because on Sunday it's World No Tobacco Day and it seemed important to do something to mark this occasion. And also this year the World Health Organization has set a theme of World No Tobacco Day of how the tobacco industry is targeting a new generation of smokers. So what we did was to go back, review some of the marketing that the industry has undertaken, look at the advertising that they do, look at the product innovation that they do, and also to think about what we in Aotearoa could be doing more effectively. And so, certainly we could be doing things to try and reduce the tobacco industry's ability to appeal to young people. And I'm not just thinking here about the smoked tobacco products. I think we're also seeing evidence of very aggressive marketing of new nicotine products, things like vaping products, that are being targeted at young people.
You mentioned those capsules, and I don't want to do advertising for the industry, but can you briefly explain what these are and how long they've been around?
Well, capsule cigarettes were introduced to New Zealand probably about 8 years ago, and what they have is a flavour bead that's embedded within the filter of the cigarette. So if somebody squeezes the filter, they crush that bead, and that releases the flavour that then perfumes the smoke that they inhale.
And why is that particularly seen as attractive to teenagers?
Well, there's a whole gimmicky aspect of doing it that's appealing. So it's something that's novel, it's a bit dinky, it's something to show your friends. So there's some social cachet, I guess, to be earned in having cigarettes that enable that sort of control over the experience. I think the other thing that's important is that for many young people who take up smoking, initially it's not a very palatable or enjoyable experience. So being able to change that experience to make it a bit smoother, a bit easier to inhale, can be quite important. And capsule cigarettes, which are predominantly menthol, but internationally are available in a lot more flavours, they do give that kind of control over the experience.
How many young people are smoking in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, at the moment, if we think about 18 to 24-year-olds, we've got about 15% of them who are smoking daily and just under 20% who are smoking at least once a month.
And how does that compare to historical numbers?
Well, we've seen a decline in smoking prevalence over time among young people, just as we have among most population groups. But I think what we have to say is actually, you know, having 20% of young people smoking at least once a month, I mean, you know, in this day and age, knowing what we know about the harms of smoking and the way in which addiction compromises young people's well-being, this is an appalling figure, and we should be doing much more about it.
When do you think, and do you think, New Zealand will become smoke-free?
That is a really great question to ask. I mean, I think that the 2025 goal is an eminently achievable goal, but it is going to mean that we have to do things differently. So we've got to do new things, and we've got to do the things that we're currently doing more effectively. So I think some of the things that we could be doing are reducing the availability of tobacco products. I mean, it just seems inconsistent for us to tell young people on the one hand that smoking is a behaviour that carries with it some appalling risks, so they shouldn't be about to do it, and then on the other hand allow tobacco to be sold in around 7,000 or 8,000 retail outlets. So we really should be dramatically reducing the availability of tobacco products. And I think that would send a very clear message to young people that this is not a normal product, it's not a normal behaviour, and it's really just keeping smoking and tobacco out of their lives. So I think that's one thing that we should be making a real priority. And we can do other things along with that, like making tobacco outlets or the sale of tobacco 21. So that obviously makes a slightly higher barrier to getting tobacco. And we know from our own studies that if we can keep young people smoke-free up until the age of 25, then the chance of them taking up smoking beyond that age is very rare. So putting measures in place just to keep tobacco out of their lives will be really important. And what we've also argued for as well are changes to the product itself. So the menthol flavour that I was talking about before, if we take that out of tobacco products, because it's in other tobacco apart from menthol flavoured cigarettes at the moment to increase that smoothness and palatability, then we would decrease any kind of pleasure from the experience of smoking and make it more aversive to young people. And some people have suggested removing nicotine from cigarettes so that they're not addictive. And that would mean if young people were to experiment with them, then they wouldn't become addicted quickly and potentially lifelong smokers.
That seems pretty obvious. Don't know why I haven't heard of that one before. Hey, just one last question. If you put the legal age up for something, does it actually stop young people taking it up?
We don't have a lot of evidence about 21 sales yet, so they've been introduced in some states and localities in the US. But tobacco wasn't always R18 in New Zealand, so people under that age used to be able to purchase it. And certainly increasing the age at which tobacco can be bought is one of a suite of measures that's helped to bring down smoking, particularly among teenagers, where we've seen far more dramatic declines in smoking prevalence.
Hey, thanks for your time today. Enjoy tobacco-free, World Tobacco-Free Day on Sunday, Janet. And Professor Janet Hook, co-director of Aspire 2025. Nice to talk to you. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye-bye.